Right, welcome everyone to the 7th episode of Recursive. In this week, we're going to talk about open source software. But before we do that, let's catch up. What have you been up to over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, so hello as well. The most recent activity what I've been up to is code-wise. I've been working on a UI component library for internal use, and it's been an experience. I have scar tissue. I have been through many different compilers, trying different things, and there's so many things that can go wrong or should be tweaked differently to get the good result, and it's a mess. And today, after another few attempts, come to the conclusion where I started off with, like 4 days ago or something, is the right way to go. So I went full circle. I went full retard. I've done a lot of things and come to realization that what I started with was just the thing. So, you know, that's moving in the right direction. And I like it because I'm also learning a lot of things about, because of that, like I'm using Yarn workspaces, like the version 3, and that's totally new to me, never done that before, and let's see what else. I checked out Lerna, and now I'm using Turbo because it's quicker, you know, all those type of things, like pushing my knowledge still, and I'm pretty hungry, and I like it, yeah. So I've done that, but like I said, I've been to many rabbit holes, so I've been through a bunch more the past week. They're kind of lost on me right now, but that I recall. So that was coding wise, and I've been enjoying the Swedish weather a lot right now. It's incredible. It's incredible. Like 20-ish degrees, sunny, perfect. Little breeze now and then. Yeah, it's perfect. So definitely enjoying that. Yeah. What about you?
Nice. Yeah, I've been doing great as well. We had a bit of a party a couple weekends ago at your place.
Mm-hmm.
With your girlfriend's birthday.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
Visiting you in real life in your apartment. So that was cool. Meeting a lot of Dutch people. Trying to get into practice my Dutch.
Yeah, there were a bunch, right? Actually, yeah. It was nice having you over, man. It was cool. It was really nice.
Yeah, it was cool being there. Other than that, I've been busy at work as per usual. I've been working on a big project for quite a while at work now. Kind of like a large redesign of a pretty like core feature of Demando, kind of on my own, which has been, it's probably been the most challenging piece of software I've written and the most complex piece of software. A lot of different edge cases and, you know, magic under the hood for like improving the UX for our customers.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah. Is there any set deadline, like whenever people should be able to tune into that and check it out?
Not really. I mean, it doesn't really add any more core functionalities. Mm-hmm. It's more just a kind of moving a lot of pieces around and optimizing. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to rush to get it out there, but you know, it would be nice if it's done soon, because I think we've all been there. When you spend so much time on a single project, you kind of want to move on to the next thing.
Yep.
So I'm kind of in that phase right now, but there's still a lot of things left. So, keeping at it.
That's good. Actually, to zoom in on that a little bit, is that I like to alternate it sometimes. Like, you know, at some point you're like, okay, I'm so far ahead. I'm at this point, it's like 80% complete or something. And then you're like, okay, I'm a little spent on that particular task or project. Yeah. I'll switch it up and come back with renewed energy and ideas maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been it pretty much. So let's dive into the topic of today, which is the idea of open source software.
Yes.
Do you wanna take it off?
Yeah. So it's open source software and its benefits and you know actually the world of open source, so everything related to it as well. And yeah, I think it's good to start off with your personal experiences, right? Like, what do you, how mm-hmm. do you connect to it, or how do you consume it, or anything about that? So the first thing with, if I think about open source, the first thing that pops in my mind somehow is still that open source word, or like office, open LibreOffice, something about that, LibreOffice.
It's like the Linux version of Microsoft Office or something.
Well, it was kind of used everywhere, actually. At least my father had it on his Windows laptop as well.
Ah, okay. That I recall. Maybe it's all platforms.
Yeah, so somehow that's still in my, like, you know, it was so blatantly that it was open source, because everything, mm-hmm. what text editing was just Word, and this wasn't Word, and it looked a bit less fancy, like corporate.
Yeah.
But it did a job, and it was for free, right? So that's the first encounter, if I think about it, like, that's where it sources from. And next to that, like, I love open source, right? So it's a lot of software that as a developer right now, wow, like, I don't know how many things I'm using or somehow using without knowledge is open source. It's, I don't think I can count it on my two hands. I think there's more.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, to go a little technical there, like, if you probably check out the dependency tree of a larger package, like, you know, you're already at, like,
you would need tens of thousands of fingers for that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So think of it a lot, actually, but it's all, like, under the hood, hidden away, not visible to you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like open source, and I think that's also a reason why I feel kind of inclined to contribute back in some way, personally. Mm-hmm.
Shall we perhaps take a step back and explain for people who don't know, perhaps, what, like, the idea with open source that, you know, it's basically people building software and then not charging money for it. They just put it out in the world, and anyone can use your software for their product, basically.
Yes, but I think right now, currently, there's an asterisk near the free part, because there's software out there like Zed, the tool I'm using. It's open source, but I feel at some point it will become paid, but still open source or something.
That's a minority of what we're talking about. If mm-hmm. we look at, for example, at NPM, mm-hmm. which is the biggest package registry for JavaScript open mm-hmm. source,
mm-hmm.
Most of it is just like free utilities and free packages you can install, and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You can sponsor it, like, people will take your money if you're open to giving it, but there are no strings attached for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's products like, what you mentioned, Robert, like Zed, which is a code editor, where, like, their core code is open source,
mm-hmm.
but they will probably charge money for the product eventually.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think that's, like, why would somebody actually go open source? Like, maybe that's also, we could give you guys a general thought there, which I have about it. That, like, it's just about, you know, giving, contributing, like, how do you call that? Selflessness, maybe, like, helping each other out without wanting something back. Well, contributions monetary wise are sometimes very nice to sustain that behavior, but outside of that, I guess it comes from a core of goodness, from people. Like, just they like to build things. They like to
maybe
share. Yeah.
Maybe.
Sometimes.
I don't know.
Like, okay. Yeah.
Maybe I don't think it's always that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be nice if that would be the case, but maybe it's more of a cynical take, but sure, sometimes people just want to contribute for the good of things, but sometimes I think people almost always build something to solve a problem for themselves or for somebody else. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's also a big difference between individuals and companies. If you run a company, basically anywhere, the main goal is to make money. Mm-hmm. So that it's very hard for companies to rely on open source. But for individuals, I think this ties back to what we talked about the previous episode or two episodes ago, like with the self-branding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having open source software showing that you write code that a lot of people depend on, that's good for your own branding. It kind of builds respect in the industry, etc. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, do you feel the same way?
I like you said, there's so many aspects to it. Like what I said just now, totally agree. That's not like the 100% case for everything. It's just a part of it. It's just that the first thought as well, coming back from this childhood memory. Maybe that's where it stems from. Like, you know, that innocent world changing caring aspect. And but I agree with you that there's so like what you just said about solving a problem. I think that my mind, obviously, it starts off with solving an own issue, and then you feel like, oh right, so generic, and possibly other people can use it as well. And then, yeah, it could be like a small function, right? Like, could be something like a little library, like a query string in QS. You know that one. It's pretty famous. Like, there's a few out there on NPM that have like a few million downloads a month. Just because they're, you know, they're so crucial.
Week, almost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's weekly, actually, right? It's weekly downloads that it shows. Yeah. Insane numbers. But that's probably because they are somewhere in the chain of, you know, a lot of bigger projects. But nonetheless, like, you're very crucial. And I'm on a rattle here. But the fun thing is, it makes me think about this meme type thing where the gist of it basically comes down to the something crucial, like, you know, some government software or something big software is dependent on this one little library that's maintained by a guy on an attic somewhere, you know, just some open sourcer, just the one guy that is able to uphold that whole inverted pyramid of, you know, companies and whatever's relying on it. But that's pretty funny, actually. Yeah, it always cracks me up that it in some ways is the case, right? Some people are doing it a one-man show. But yeah, we're digressing here, I guess. So, but I agree with what you just said. Definitely, yeah.
Cool. So from my perspective, when it comes to like personal experience with open source, of course, at the Mando, we use a lot of open source libraries and frameworks. We use Next.js, which I'm actually not sure. Is that open source? It is?
I think it is.
Let me check.
Yeah. And then...
Yeah.
What's the license? Like, which license does it... have, do you see that?
I mean, the code is up on GitHub. Just for reference to the audience here, this is our first episode we're doing remotely, so now we can do some research while we're recording here. Yeah, but okay, Next.js is open source, and then of course Next.js uses a lot of open source. It uses React, which themselves use a lot of open source packages. So this is something, this is very regular for modern web development nowadays. But I've also published multiple open source projects. And I think in 99% of them, the case has been, I'm solving a problem that I'm having, and it's not going to do me any good just having it laying around and not like showing it to anyone or not letting other people use it. Like, the reason I've published them is because, okay, yeah, sure, I think people can have, they can find this useful, and it can probably, you know, I can show it off on my website, and, you know, it doesn't hurt, you know. Well, it does in some ways, but we can get into that soon.
Yeah.
What's been your experience with it?
So, yeah, we've done an episode on Yuno, which is the email client, which I'm doing as an open source one. It's my first project doing that on that level, an open source in general. But I feel there's many more I'd like to... There's more in my pipeline. Like, I have many more ideas, or I feel that there's still... I still have more to give. But yeah, like, about Next, actually, could you possibly create a pull request, or could you contribute to the code, or is it locked, or do you know anything about that?
It seems like you can. There are currently 283 pull requests open.
Just imagine the scale and complexity of doing something like that.
15,000 merged ones.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, that's open source.
It's been going on for a while. Yeah. Yeah, no, so like, maybe a little related topic, like, Next.js is owned by a company, Vercel, right? So, and that also builds on React, which is owned by Meta. So what I'm saying is, oh wait, another third one actually related in the mix, like GitHub, I think, is that open? Is GitHub itself open source?
I don't think so. Let me check.
But GitHub itself is owned by Microsoft, which is making a big push to support open source, right? So what you see is a lot of companies that are closed source based in core in terms of software are contributing back to the, well, they're doing, how do you call that? It's kindness. It's contributing back to the community in terms of open source. It's maybe even like uplifting their face value. Like, oh, like, for example, for me, like, yeah, I like using React, but I'm not a big fan of what Meta or Facebook did back in the day. But I like React, right? So it's a mixed bag in that sense. I would not stop using React just because of that. But it does make me feel, like there's part of me, like, it makes it less bad in total, like the sum of it. Like, there's some parts that I don't agree with Meta, but that I like about Meta. So it's, like I said, maybe a green, like, not greenwashing, but philanthropy, maybe, you know, it's like giving back to the people that
I think Meta is such a big company that I think they operate in very, like, very isolated ways. So, like, the Facebook part of Meta is probably in an entire different country from the Instagram team, and they are probably in another country from the React core team. I think they probably don't have much, like, day-to-day business together. But of course, the reason the people at Facebook back in the day built React was to solve their own problems. So to this day, I wouldn't be surprised if Facebook comes to the React team with questions or suggestions.
Well, what I've heard about it, a little bit insight there, is sometimes, like, the changes that React is making is, like, let's say, like, highly influenced by what Facebook needs to progress in their product, right? That's where they're still building it for Facebook, and it's open sourced and available to everyone else. But we do have some say in it, but like it outweighs what Facebook, you know, the parent company wants it, what direction it wants. Although, maybe I'll go a little too deep in the dev space here, but Next.js and React, like, how is that connection that's becoming so bonded? It's becoming odd in some ways, you know? It's like, does
what
Next.js...
Do you mean?
Well, there's been... people have been saying, like, Next.js either has a very privileged position in the eyes of the React team, so Next.js can ask them, like, React, you know, go a little bit this direction, or we're aiming to do this, or vice versa. Like, they have a very tight bond compared to other derivative platforms that are using React, right? They are kind of like just, you know, consumers or clients,
yeah,
almost.
I mean,
yeah,
because they are the biggest ones, and they probably have, like, I would guess most people who use React nowadays use Next.js, like, for production software.
Yeah, a lot
maybe.
Of it. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it.
At least
yeah. It's
a lot of people. And I think that's like a good and bad thing if we're going to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, maybe let's not get into that, because this is more about open source, and it's not really about
politics.
About
or
that. Yeah, I want to get into, like, what do you think are some... I have some ideas on this, but like some negatives about open source, and
mm-hmm.
like both in general, but also like building your own things in open source.
Like public.
Have you like gotten any experience with that through Juno? Like, have you seen the downsides and the upsides of that?
That's a good question. So the downsides I haven't experienced yet, because I'm not at that stage yet. I think that where I am, like, okay, I'm this far ahead, or I'm doing something so unique that people want to, you know, rip it off and just go with it, and, you know, don't contribute to the company or to the product in at least by feedback, monetary use, or just, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not there yet, so there's no copycats. But the benefit, like, definitely that people out there wanting to contribute just
mm-hmm.
because it's open source, right? There's a lot of people are looking out for that kind of a project. So I feel that's true. But and I guess for now, also the only way to grow the amount of progress, the number of tickets in progress for such a project, right? Otherwise, it would be on my own or someone
mm-hmm.
else, and then, you know, you could do it, obviously, but I feel this is more scaling. It could be scaled a bit better without having to pay people, right? So it's all about that, just the joy.
Free labor.
Program. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah, yeah. So that's for me the negative and the positive in a short form. Yeah. What about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, when I say free labor, it's really not, because, you know, I've published some open source packages in the past, and lately I have seen the downsides with open source.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you publish a package, you kind of want people to use it. That's sort of, you know, that's understood. And like in 9 times out of 10, people are not going to use it. People are not going to care about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in that one case, which has happened to me with especially one package, you know, people are, they want to change it. They want to do their own things. And maybe that's not what I want to do. Maybe I want to keep it in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the way that I initially imagined. But I've been struggling with that a bit. Like, should I conform to what the users want, or should I, you know, stick with my initial idea and not budge on that?
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you would help yourself the most by not budging and just let them fork it and just go their own way there, right? Just, they can. So, you know, what stops them if they want to? I guess you have to pick your own sanity a bit here. But I know I'm cutting in line here a bit, but you make me think of another thing, which probably is also on your list, is about the you know, the bug fixes or the requests in general. Like, if they encounter something, it's a bug, and you know, you're the maintainer, so they create a ticket, which is nice, but then they ask you to take the time to fix it or, you know, take a look at it. But sometimes you either don't want to, or you don't have the time for it, or there's some reason for it, but they are pushing you, or it's like, you know, update question mark or some almost passive aggressive behavior. I don't have experience with that, honestly. Luckily, I guess not now yet, but I can imagine with your more popular projects or open source products that is probably the case, or maybe tell us about that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's something you have to be prepared for if you publish your products or projects on something like GitHub. People don't really care about you in that way. Like, they want their feature implemented and they want it now, because they're probably using it for a work project or something.
Yeah.
And they don't have time to wait.
Yeah.
So that's something I think you need to be prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you can say, well, just fork it, but you know, that's kind of annoying for them, and they're probably not gonna do it. Mm-hmm. Then they have to maintain it themselves.
True.
So yeah, and I think you have to pick your battles a bit. Of course, if it's a bug or something, you should probably look into it, because I think you have to kind of accept that when you publish something on GitHub, you want people to use it. Then if people report bugs, you're kind of obligated to at least take a look at it eventually. Otherwise you can just remove the package or archive it or something, or transfer it to another maintainer.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, so that's totally part of the game if you're publishing something. So let's see. So that's the pitfall, right? So what are your benefits? I don't feel that you've mentioned those. Like, what is the positive you gain out of the open source?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, of course, people reporting bugs is a benefit, because then you can fix it and you can make your project better. But to be completely honest and transparent, my biggest benefit of publishing open source is, at least in the beginning of my career, when I didn't have as much like work-life experience, I could show this to my potential employers when going on interviews or applying for jobs. I could show, okay, I have this many open source projects that these many people are using, and you know, companies like that, other engineers like that, and I like it now when I see people applying for jobs at Amando. If they are active in the open source community and building own projects on their spare time, that shows some sort of ambition or drive or interest. Which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's the process. But are you gaining any personal benefits outside of the eyeballs you're getting from it? Is there any product out there, you feel like, okay, this open source project, like, I you know, praise to God, like, I'm happy that's for free.
Oh, it's
it's a different take on the question, right? You answered correctly. Yeah.
No, definitely. Like, of course, the React and Next.js stuff, that's really, really appreciative. Mm-hmm. But one more specific one is a window manager I use for macOS, which is called Amethyst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this American guy who's been building this window manager for like 10 years, since like, I don't know, the early days of macOS. And he's still doing it. He's still fixing bugs, still releasing updates.
Wow.
I've been wanting to sponsor him, but he doesn't want to take my money. He just does this on his spare time. And that's really wonderful. I really appreciate that stuff.
Yeah, it is really good. Like, and for example, your editor, NeoVim, is that that's also open source, right?
That's also open source. NeoVim, all the plugins for NeoVim. It's hard to count every open source project you use on a daily basis.
It's hard to keep track of it. I agree. Yeah, so that's true. So about, like, we spoke a little earlier about corporates sponsoring open source and whatnot. So what you're seeing a lot right now is obviously AI tools. I'm not going to go into too much depth with AI, but there's a lot of AI, you know, buzzing. You know,
I love it.
It's the buzz around the house right now. It's a lot of things going on. So
I used it today, actually.
Sorry?
I used ChatGPT at work today.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. For me, it's like another day at the office almost. Like, you know, when don't I use it? It's sometimes just, you know, the mundane task of changing some text in a different form, like, you know, ordering it differently or doing something so easily.
Rejects. That's my use case.
Ah, that's interesting.
Just give me a regex for a phone number and it gives you a regex for a phone number.
Yeah. Those things you cannot memorize, right? The regex syntax. No. Nah, that's difficult.
You have to double check it though, because it gets it wrong pretty often. But it gets you pretty far.
True.
To the final result.
Yeah, but I think maybe you can concur. Like, if it's a more older type of technology, right? Like regex has been around for the beginning of, you know, JavaScript or other coding languages. Like, probably it's gonna do the right thing at some point, right? Yeah. But yeah, so there is that. There's ChatGPT, which is owned by OpenAI. It's closed source, even though it says OpenAI. That's funny enough. It's they were open source, but then investment came around and they changed their game plan.
They were open source?
Yeah, they were open source at some point. Like, OpenAI is all about transparency and just introducing AI in a very structured or controlled manner, I would say, to the world. But, you know, that's not the case, right? It's unleash the beast on all fronts for a lot of companies. It's like a race to the top, which is fun to witness, but also makes you question some things along the road. Like, are we considering some things or just forgetting about it and racing? Anyway, that's a whole different thing. Doesn't matter. There is actually a few companies out there that have released their AI or LLM, large language models, which is what ChatGPT is, right? This is a lot of, basically, it's ingested a lot of text, so it knows what knows. I'll skip it. It's a black box, but it kind of figures out like how to put one word after the other, and therefore it can create a sentence. So that's our LLMs, large language models, and there's a few out there which are open source, right? So there's this debate going on, like with AI, for example. Some open source projects are making more progress, are growing quicker, are progressing better than closed source ones, and that actually is pretty cool to witness. It's pretty cool to see that closed source doesn't always mean, cat in the bag, a winning game. It's a done deal. If you're closed source, you're good. No, it seems like the power of the masses is taking a head start here, at least. One of which is actually Midjourney. You've seen the progression they have done in the past few months. It's awesome. It's wow, what they've done is insane. But anyway, so there's companies sponsoring it. There's companies that are they have the right to take it from open source to closed source. I think they can make that switch. I think. I'm not sure if it's.
What do you mean?
Like, if it's open source at one point, I think they can either make it closed source, or this is not similar but related, is that there are companies that duplicate open source and then make it closed source. Like, they just copy it and then, you know, take it to their own, as their own product, repackage it, basically.
Yeah, that depends on the license.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how do you feel about that?
No, that's of course not okay. Like, if open source repository license their stuff accordingly, you're not allowed to just take the code and then, like, make it commercial.
Mm-hmm.
If it's MIT license, that's all right. But otherwise, I don't think it's not. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But we're running out of time here. I think we should move on to our weekly gem. What do you think?
Good. Yeah, let's. You can kick take it away there.
Yeah. My weekly gem this week is a course that I bought. A front-end/design course called Build UI.
Mm-hmm.
BuildUI.com, I believe. It's a very high-quality course. It doesn't have that many episodes, but the quality is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the content is very much my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of like frame motion animation videos. It's a lot of Tailwind stuff, remix stuff. And it's this guy called Sam Selikoff. I don't know if you heard about him. But he's basically the main guy who does the videos, and I think he has a friend who does it, like, the behind the scenes things together with him. They actually also have a podcast called Frontend First, I think it's called, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyways, really good course, only like $200, and it's like a lifetime license or something.
Okay.
So you get all the courses in the future and all the previous courses.
Wow.
That really, really worth it. Really recommend it.
Yeah. When she said like a lifetime license, that's most of the time like you buy it at that time, right? And the progression doesn't really, you don't buy the progress afterwards. Like, you buy it at that time and point in time. So everything you have there. Oh, that's awesome. But they give you new content. Question, actually. So, what made you go for this course? Like, why would you want to buy this or learn about it?
Sam does a lot of YouTube videos as well. And, I just thought his content was really good and the quality was very good. And then I found this course and it looked very, very polished and a lot of great material. And then I thought, okay, well, if my job can just purchase this for me as a, like, you know, education material, that's, I'll take it. And I've watched all the frame motion videos now.
All right. Yeah, that's cool stuff. I love frame motion. They're doing an awesome job, really. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So can we see
how
some...
about you?
Yeah, well, actually, one more question. I'm very curious about this. Are you aiming to upgrade your portfolio with it or do something, apply it somewhere?
I'm aiming to apply a lot of it at work at Mando, where it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't want to just slap it on wherever it makes sense, you know, or yeah. wherever I can.
Yeah, no, we've been over this also during the branding, personal branding one. Like, just yeah. because you can doesn't mean you should. That's,
exactly.
That's true. Yeah. What about me? So I have two, actually. So maybe I've mentioned the first one already, but I feel that it should still be promoted. Is Apple Shortcuts. I've been more and more thinking about how to apply it for my own use to automate your life so that you know, sometimes you do a task very frequently. There's possibly a way to automate that, and I feel that I don't hear enough about it. Therefore, I'm assuming that it's not that mainstream yet or people are not really thinking about that. But, you know, it just came to mind that, oh, maybe I should automate that, right? Like, just to give you an example here, I like to watch football, the replays of football, and I always have to do with a VPN to get the Dutch broadcasting to work and all of that. I could just automate that because I'm doing the same sequence every, not day, but you know, very frequently. And I felt like, you know, that's one of the things I could do, but I have a bunch of them lined up for my personal use, and I'm going to do... you know, more thinking about how could I optimize my life with shortcuts. That's the one.
Mm.
Then the other one is, yesterday was so nice of a weather. I was like, yeah, it's been on top of my mind for so long. And I did invite you as well, not this time, but you know, in general, to go mountain biking. So I went out there to Hellas Garden in Stockholm, south of Stockholm, in near Nacka. We just rented a bike there. It wasn't that expensive. It was a really good bike. I think it was full suspended, like, you know, front and back. So it was easy, like total comfort. Sweet. And yeah, we just went for it. It was a nice day. And I can recommend it to anyone out there that feels like maybe I should. I think you should. Just go
for
it. Was
it like downhill mountain biking? Or what was the,
I wish
the situation?
No, well, so I downloaded an app which called Trail Fork, I guess. It's globally, you can find any country, any map. And we just went for it, right? So, no, I wish it was only downhill. We had to bike uphill a few times, and sometimes it was pretty steep. It was a fun experience. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, I can recommend it. Yeah. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Then, we should definitely do it. And if there's listeners out there who are living in Stockholm and you want to go mountain biking, I extend the invite if you want to join.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Right, shall we wrap it up for today?
That's it, I guess. Yes. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. If you have an open source project you would like to share with us, please do. We're still listening. We're still learning. We're still curious. And thank you for your time. And have a wonderful day or evening. Bye-bye.
Yeah. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.